Hey, what's going on, everybody? Alan Kenny, managing editor with CrystalBallRun.com, the Blogging Network's national college football blog. And supposedly, I have George Schroeder on the other end of the line here. You don't really know anymore who you're talking to with all this stuff going on with the Manti Te'o and whatnot, but we're not actually talking about the Notre Dame soap opera. We are going to be talking about the big transition going on in Eugene with Chip Kelly heading off for the NFL, Mark Helfrich, his longtime offensive coordinator, taking over. George is going to give us an idea of kind of, you know, what went down, I think, with Chip, what kind of coach he was like, and how the transition is going to go. So let me go ahead and bring him on. George, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. Glad to be on.
All right. Fantastic. Well, you know, Chip Kelly is one of those guys. He came in, he's kind of a shooting star through college football, you know. I mean, he really wasn't there in Oregon that long. He surfaced from, you know, kind of out of nowhere coming up through there, out of New Hampshire, came through there. I mean, did you always get the feeling he was the kind of guy that had designs on going to the NFL?
Well, you know, I don't know that when he first came out, he was exactly as you described. He was kind of a guy from nowhere, and you know, a longtime 1AA FCS guy at New Hampshire, kind of a reach to hire as an offensive coordinator. So kudos to Mike Bellotti, the head coach at the time, for doing that. But nobody really knew what Oregon had. I think when he, you know, he certainly had a good first year as an offensive coordinator with Dennis Dixon. Suddenly becoming kind of, he'd gone from an enigma to an actual NFL quarterback, was a Heisman candidate, I think probably the front runner, so he blew out his knee. Even then, a year and a half later, he's the head coach, uh-huh. which seemed stunning at the time. And so as a long answer to your short question, I don't think until, about early 2011 season, did I actually think not only would he have designs in the NFL, but that he would have a shot at it. Because I think for a while, a lot of people thought gimmick offense, not sure if it really had any staying power in college football in terms of being elite, much less what can you do in the NFL. And then all of a sudden, you began to get the idea that general managers were kind of intrigued with Kelly as an efficiency administrator. And then this year, you began to see that they really liked the different elements of his offense, not all at once, not as a wholesale thing, but different pieces of it here and there. So many different people in the NFL are running it and with mobile quarterbacks. And so I think sometime last season, 2011, not 2012, was when I first began to think, you know what, I think he'd like to go to the NFL, and I think he actually has a shot.
Yeah. Now I want to get into the stuff about his coaching techniques and offense and everything, but you know, based on how it went down, I mean, I know, by the way, folks, George is with USA Today. I'm not sure if I said that when he came on. He's with USA Today now, but a long time there in Eugene covering the Ducks for the Eugene Register Guard. George, with Chip Kelly, I mean, you know, this whole kind of, there was this back and forth and he's staying, he's going. I mean, do you have any insight into how that process went down?
You know, not a ton of insight, although I'll tell you this. I think, you know, this time, probably this weekend a year ago, he flirted with the Buccaneers, mm-hmm. frankly, took the job, and then backed out of it in the space of hours on a Sunday afternoon. And I think once he did that, you knew he was going at some point.
Yeah.
And you figured it was the next time. All that said, it was very public right after the festival. He was going to interview, and then it was pretty public as he did interview with the Browns, the Eagles, and the Buffalo Bills. And, you know, when he came back to Oregon and didn't go at that point, didn't take one of those jobs, I think a lot of people, me included, thought, well, he's going to be here another year, and, you know, he may well have, you know, lost his chance to be the hot guy, but he's chosen for whatever reason to stay at Oregon. And so I don't think I'm the only guy. I think he caught everybody flat-footed when, you know, a week and a half later, he suddenly was the Eagles coach. I know it caught the staff by surprise. I talked to several of their guys, and I know it caught the administration at Oregon by surprise. And I think what it comes down to is he had second thoughts almost from the moment that he turned them down. And I think he's a guy who's pretty decisive, and I think he probably found himself in a weird spot of being indecisive. And finally just went ahead and said, it's time to make the change.
Yeah, well, I'm interested to see how he likes that environment up there in Philadelphia, because that is no joke. Those fans are
yeah, it'll be different.
They don't play.
You know, he'll appreciate that Eugene and Portland market a little bit more probably in terms of media friendliness.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. So I want to ask you though. I mean, you've got great insight into what you know Chip's like, kind of as a coach and whatnot. And you know, a lot of this stuff. I realize that his offense and his you know the innovations that he's done there. I mean, you know, he whole Oregon offense just exploded when he kind of installed that blur and they were running at such a fast pace and whatnot. But you know, some of this stuff. It sounds like. More, a lot of his contributions to the program and the changes they made almost were more on the back end level with stuff, you know, practicing more efficiently, talent evaluation. I mean, do you think that that's a fair assessment?
I think it is, and I don't know how all of that translates to the NFL because if there's one thing successful football coaches do, it's, they're very, very efficient. Chip always called it, and he took it from an 80s movie, he always called it trying to feed the tuna mayonnaise. And the deal was, how do you make tuna fish, tuna salad faster? Mm-hmm. Well, you'd maybe on the front end, you feed the tuna mayonnaise. He was always trying to find a way to be more efficient. How can you shave 10 seconds off here or 2 minutes off there in your day and get more work done in the same amount of time? But you know what? That's a universal thing with football coaches. I think when you get to highly successful football coaches at whatever level it is, they're really organized. They're really detail oriented. They're the kind of guys who are efficient and they run their administration that way. And so, I do think that he's been innovative. He's found some ways to feed the tuna mayonnaise a little bit. You know, practicing in the morning is not something a lot of people do. I'll be interested to see if he tries that in the NFL. I think that's kind of an interesting idea. It's interesting the backstory on how he did that. You know, and before I go back to that, they practiced to music. They practiced at this crazy pace, which of course is what allows them to play the pace they play at during the actual games. You know, and I don't know whether the pace is going to happen in the NFL full tilt or not. I have a lot of issues and questions about whether you can do that with a 53-man roster and five practice players versus five practice squad players versus 105 or 120 players. You know, I think a lot of people are intrigued with the different ideas he's tried, and he hasn't just sort of haphazardly thrown them out there. He's kind of tried to figure out the reasons behind the ideas, and then he's tried them. And that's where I get back to practicing in the morning. He gets ready to take the job. He's a successor. The coach in waiting, Tupelati, they had a formal succession plan going. And when they decided to name him the head coach in time for spring practice, whatever year that would have been, 2009, you know, in February or March 2009, he went he had already been with the conditioning coach at Oregon, Jim Radcliffe, who by the way is kind of a non-traditional, not your typical sort of football strength coach. He's been a long time proponent of conditioning and kind of associated with the track program at Oregon, which of course is so, you know, well known. And he got with Jim Radcliffe and they talked about what could they do different in practice. And one of the radical ideas that Radcliffe had was, look, if you practiced in the morning, let's look at the time you get to recover each day, and then especially before a game. Let's say your last heavy practice is maybe Wednesday, but let's say it's even on Thursday, your last heavy practice. So if you're done at 11 a.m. Thursday, and Friday is just a walkthrough like everybody else, there's nothing taxing about it, certainly nothing that bangs you up physically. Think about how much time you've got even before a noon kick on Saturday, how much more time you have to recover. Now, I don't know if that makes a big difference, but they thought it did. And I think a lot of people in the NFL, they look at a guy who thinks like that and is willing to try it and do it differently, and then it works. And now you see other coaches following him, and they go, this is a guy I'd like to see if he could run my organization.
Yeah, and then, you know, the other thing, I mean, obviously, there were some issues maybe in how he acquired some of his talent, but I mean, to me, it felt like he did a really good job of upgrading there also.
Yeah. And I didn't address that as part of your question, but there's no question they've done a really good job of evaluating talent that fit their system. And I don't necessarily mean running the spread option or having a mobile quarterback, because they've adapted to whatever the quarterback is. What I mean is guys who are lean and fast. And I mean that at basically every position, except probably offensive line, but even those guys are not your prototypical guys. But especially along the defensive line, they're long and lanky and lean. Certainly the skill position guys are as fast as anywhere in the country. And so, they've done a really good job at evaluating the talent that they can get at Oregon to come to Oregon, and then it fits sort of the kinds of things they want to do and the pace they want to play at.
Yeah, now, I touched on it just a second ago, but, I think the big kind of elephant in the room when you're talking about Oregon football at this point is dealings with the NCAA. Do you get any sense that that played a factor in Kelly's ultimate decision? I mean, do you think that might have had him having second thoughts when he came back to Oregon?
I don't think so. Let me start out by saying his legacy at Oregon will ultimately be defined, at least in part, by whatever happens and whether they get the hammer dropped on him. People at Oregon don't like to think that, but it's true. That said, I don't think that had anything to do with his decision. I really don't. He's like a lot of coaches. They're very confident. There's a hubris, even sort of. It goes beyond confidence to hubris. And they don't think, A, they did anything wrong, and they don't think anything's going to happen to them because they didn't do anything wrong in their minds. And so although the people at Oregon are very, and rightly so, uncomfortable about what could be coming down the pike now that their attempt at a summary disposition, which is a plea bargain, has been denied, and they're going to have to go before the Committee on Infractions for a hearing, which means you don't know what's going to happen. I don't think that had anything to do with Chip's decision to go to the NFL. I think Chip is a guy, going back to what you asked earlier, who really wants to test himself at the highest level. And this is his shot, and he thinks he can do it, and let's go do it. I didn't really think that had something to do with it, but I don't think the NCAA issue did.
Fair enough, fair enough. Again, folks, talking with George Schroeder of USA Today. George, let's talk about the new man in charge, Mark Helfrich. Give us an idea. What's he like?
Well, the people who are around him all the time. First, my personal impressions of him: very personable, very, very sharp. And the people who are around him, a lot would tell you he might have been the smartest coach in the building, up to and including Chip Kelly, which is pretty high praise because whatever anybody thinks of Chip, he's really smart and he's really good at coaching football. Mm-hmm. And, the X's and O's obviously are unquestioned when it comes to offenses. Ed was certainly not Mark Helfrich's offense, and he sort of has suffered by comparison to Chip or been overshadowed, probably a better way to put it, and rightfully so. But really sharp guy, really personable. I think he's going to be the kind of guy who knows how to run an organization really well. And, we'll see how the offense goes between the collaboration between him and Scott Frost, who move up to offensive coordinator from wide receivers coach. But I think he's going to be it's a really nice choice of successor. And I say all that to say the standard's set pretty high under Chip Kelly, and, I'm not sure that you bring anybody in and that they measure up. So it'll be interesting to see in that regard.
Do you have any insight into what maybe, if he's going to change something up or tinker with anything that Chip was doing? I mean, you hire a guy internally like that and elevate him. I mean, the administration, that to me, that's a signal that they are endorsing, the previous regime. And why not? I mean, Kelly had such a great success there. But do you see Helfrich doing anything, kind of tweak anything there?
Well, I don't know what he'll do in terms of how he runs the program or X's and O's or strategy or whatever. I think that's to be determined. I think he's his own guy, and I think he'll do some things differently. But clearly, he's on board with sort of the culture and the way they started to do things under Chip. And that is why he was the guy they wanted to have as a successor rather than going outside. It was because they want to continue what they've done. And he, not only did he seem like the most likely guy to do it, they think they have another coaching star. Now, we'll see. And I mean, that's not to denigrate him at all. I think he's really good. If he's going to make some changes that we all notice immediately, it's not going to be in not playing music or practice or not playing fast or going in the afternoons or something for practicing. It's going to be probably, I think he'll be a little bit more open, which was a tradition at Oregon up until Chip Kelly began to clamp down at the end of the 2010 season. He began to become closed and got really closed after the Will Lyles broke. Yeah. I think we'll see Mark Helfrich's personality be, just by the way he is as a guy, he's going to be more open, more friendly, more willing to do the things on sort of the rubber chicken off-season circuit that coaches need to do with both boosters and donors across the state. I think we'll see more of that and a more willingness to do that with Mark Helfrich. So I don't know it's the kind of thing that you see on the field, on TV on Saturdays, but I think you may see kind of a more less surly, more smiley type of program.
Is Phil Knight on board with Helfrich?
I'm sorry?
Is Phil Knight on board with this?
Absolutely. Let me tell you this. Phil Knight doesn't run the day-to-day operations of the Oregon Athletic Department, which a lot of people think, but a lot of people are exactly right when they think that no big-time decision gets made without him having signed off on it. I can guarantee you that. So, yeah, he was on board, fully on board, and frankly was had been on board for the year, for a year, since they were going to tab Helfrich, the guy, and in fact had already made him the guy that just hadn't announced it yet when Chip flirted with the Buccaneers. Last January.
Yeah, it's almost a silly question, but I had to throw it in there.
He's on board. You know, the owner is on board with the new coach.
Yeah, fair enough. Guys that are maybe going, I know that Chip at least took one guy from the staff there at Oregon. How are the defections in that regard potentially impacting the program?
Well, it took Jerry Alzinara, who was the one coach that he really truly brought in. He brought in Scott Frost, too. Mm-hmm. But Jerry Alzinara was a defensive line coach. Got a lot of credit for rebuilding their defensive line differently and doing a good job and helping them go from a 4-3 look to kind of a hybrid 3-4, which is what they went with. He took him with him. That's a big loss, but, you know, I think he was always Chip's guy. Then he took a couple of grad assistants who will get, you know, some sort of roles with the Eagles, and some guys that the general public, maybe unless you're a really big Ducks fan, don't know, including James Harris, who had the title of chief of staff for football, but was an assistant AD in charge of sort of life skills and things like that. Mm-hmm. His loss is going to be huge because it was a non-football role, but it was sort of the guy who both ran all their mentoring programs and what probably served as a personal mentor for many, many players over the last few years. That's a big loss. And then I don't know who else he may take, but if he takes, as some people had suggested, Jim Radcliffe, the strength and conditioning mm-hmm. coach, and I don't know if he could pry him away from Eugene, but if he did that, that would be a huge loss.
Yeah, that's that was the one that I was going to ask about in particular, because the strength and conditioning plays such a vital role in any real big program these days. So,
it'd be really interesting too, because what Jim Radcliffe does is you know, he does a lot of the normal things that strength and conditioning coaches do, but he's definitely not your run of the mill guy. He's an unorthodox guy, and it'd be interesting to see how that plays with a bunch of 25, 28, 30 year old pros.
Yeah, absolutely. So. We've seen some, kind of different outcomes for these kinds of transitions when people elevate from within the program. You know, we saw what happened with Miami and Larry Coker. We saw what happened with Nebraska, Frank Solich. But we've also seen, you know, Boise State, where they've gone with Chris Peterson. Which is more likely for Helfrich?
Well, it depends on what the standard is. Let me just say this. Is it likely that Oregon maintains this level of success even if Chip Kelly's here? I guess a lot of Duck fans would say yes, but I mean, even no. The biggest of the big, more traditional programs, the ones with more natural resources and actual long tradition, which Oregon doesn't have, take dips. We see that all the time. Texas, Oklahoma, Alabama, they dip. So even if Chip Kelly's here, it's quite possible that you're going to see a natural dip. So to say that, I think any new coach, had you brought Chris Peterson in, it would have been an interesting experiment to see if they could maintain the same level of success. The fact that you brought in yet another offensive coordinator, Mark Helfrich is the third straight offensive coordinator at Oregon to get promoted to head coach. Mike Bellotti was Rich Brooks' offensive coordinator back in the mid-90s. If you can pull off the same building that each of the last two guys did, you've really done something. And the only way you can really top what Chip Kelly did and Mark Helfrich is to win a national championship. So it's pretty rare air. You know, they've kind of reached that point, Alan, where the Fiesta Bowl seemed like a downer to the Oregon fans. And the Rose Bowl the year before seemed like a downer to the Oregon fans because they just played in the BCS championship game. Now, when they won the Rose Bowl, it was the first time they won it in forever. That was a big deal. But they've reached that point as a program where the fans' expectations are essentially BCS title run or bust. And so I think it's a pretty tough deal. And I know I haven't answered your question yet. I would say that, you know, I don't bet, but if I were a betting man, I'd say it's going to be really hard for Mark Helfrich to meet or exceed those expectations, but it would be really hard for anybody.
Yeah. Oh, no, believe me, as an Oklahoma fan, I understand what it's like, you know.
Yeah, winning the Big 12 is no longer good enough for Bob Stoops in the eyes of the fans, and all they do is win that every year.
It's true, and Kelly has set an absolutely remarkable standard. You know, when you look at the record that he had there, it's phenomenal. So, exactly. It sounds like the program has been left in pretty good hands. At least Oregon, you've got that going for you, I think. So,
yeah, there's no question. You know, look, I really like Mark Helfrich, and I don't know anybody that has a bad word to say about him. The problem is, most of the time we start out, what a great guy. Well, nothing wrong with that. But I think the thing that college football fans need to know is he has a reputation as a really good X's and O's guy and as a great coach, too. But what we don't know is, how does that translate to being a head coach? I mean, you mentioned different succession plans that haven't worked. It doesn't have to be a succession plan that doesn't work. It's just any time the coordinator makes that jump to head coach, wherever it is, you don't know how good a head coach is going to be until he actually gets going.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, George, I'm taking up plenty of your time. I really appreciate you coming on. How are you liking the new job there with USA Today?
Yeah, it's great fun. It's a big challenge, but it's a lot of fun. National college football has kind of been my passion, and getting to cover it and try to compete with a lot of my friends who are really good reporters and columnists has been a lot of fun. This first 2 months has been fantastic, and I look forward to keep doing it.
Awesome, man. Yeah, again, folks, George Schroeder, now with USA Today, one of my favorite columnists out there. Make sure to follow all his work. And, George, really appreciate you taking time out to talk Oregon football with us.
Alan, I've enjoyed it, too.
All right, and thank you all for joining us, too. For crystalballrun.com, I'm Alan Kenny. Take it easy.